You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Rory Delaghi to look ahead to the rest of Thursday's racing. What a Thursday we've got in store as well. Fantastic action at Doncaster. We're going to look at the four featured races on Thursday, but there's cracking racing all over the country tomorrow. And indeed, there's some races at Doncaster that we haven't touched on that are of high quality as well. It's a pretty good time to be alive, isn't it, Rory?
It is. It's one of my favourite months of the flat season.
Okay.
Mostly because it's clearly tapering off towards the jump season as well. Legend meeting's always entertaining. Mm. But you just get that little nip in the air. The night's drawing in a little bit. I do like the autumn. Mm. I like the autumn a lot. Not just in terms of the programme, but in terms of the climate as well. So it gets me. It starts to get me just a little bit interested about what's happening coming up in the next couple of months.
No, I agree. I think it was yesterday morning. I stepped outside and it had the feel of as if I was going to Charlie Hall Day at Weatherby.
Yes.
Sort of a bit crisp.
That little bit of crispness in the morning, even on a nice sunny day. It's pleasant, isn't it?
So we've got four races to look at Doncaster. We're recording this prior to Wednesday's racing, so we know nothing of draw bias or how the ground's riding or anything like that, which is a little bit difficult, isn't it?
It is a little bit. I shall be making assumptions randomly as far as that's concerned.
Yeah.
Hoping that the going is going to be just on the quick side of good. And I think the draw bias will depend on the makeup of the races to a large degree.
Mm. We've also got loads of runners for you to go at. I mean, the four races we're looking at, 20, 20, 13 and 22. As racing podcasts go, Rory, this might be you might be setting a new record here. Apart from maybe the national one. Plenty of runners to go at, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. We're just going to have a quick look ahead to the Irish Champion Stakes, of course, coming up over the weekend. We're just going to look at the betting for that. Golden Horns 15-8, Free Eagle 5-2, 4-1 Glen Eagles, 10-1 then for Found, Legatissimo on the Grey Gatsby, 12s for Sirius de Zeglet, Highland Reel and Players Cock. It promises to be an absolutely fascinating race, provided the main protagonists turn up, Rory. We're hoping that they will, but What do you think wins? Because there are so many favourites in there, if you like. Horses that people have warmed to over the last year or 2 years. Even though you look at the ones at 10s and 12s, and usually you'd be focused on the first three in the market, especially when they're of such quality in Golden Horn, Free Eagle and Glen Eagles. But, I mean, Sirius de Zeglet at 12, the Grey Gatsby at 10s. It could just be almost too much for some people. It's fantastic.
He just named the races that these horses have won last time out. The Prince of Wales as winner, the winner of the Yorkshire Oaks, the winner of the Nassau Stakes. And these are all last time out rather than anything else. You've got Golden Horn clearly lost his unbeaten record last time in the international, but clearly brings the very best form to the table. And when you get the likes of multiple Group 1 winners in Sirius de Zeglet and the Grey Gatsby trading at double-figure prices, you know you've got a fantastic contest on your hands. Mm. The one horse I could not be touching is Glen Eagles.
Okay.
Whether he turns out or not is open to debate. First of all, there's a bit of rain probably arriving in the Dublin area in the next 24 to 48 hours. And given he's been pulled out of a couple of races because of the ground, you have to wonder whether he will take his place here. He does have other options. At the moment, the going is absolutely fine. The going is on the fast side, but there could be heavy showers, and that can make a difference. We've been playing Willie won't he with Glen Eagles for a while now. Missed the international at the last moment. Missed Glorious Goodwood under slightly bizarre circumstances, to be perfectly honest. Taken out because of the ground before the declaration stage, which is unheard of, and the going ended up being good on the day. There's been a lot of fallout over that and suggestions about friction between owner and trainer regarding the horse. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think he's the drama in the race, but he's not necessarily the star attraction in the contest. How do we bet? Free Eagle close to the top?
5-2. Golden Horn 15-8, Free Eagle 5-2, Gleneagles 4s and 10s are bigger the rest.
Yeah, I think Golden Horn still deserves to be favourite for this, for all that John Costin probably wishes he didn't run him in the international last time out. Had he missed York, he'd be a very short price for this. He still finished far enough in front of the Great Gatsby to give him the edge over Free Eagle on form. Free Eagle only just beat the Great Gatsby and the Prince of Wales's, and of course the Great Gatsby didn't get the run of the race that day either. So arguably Free Eagle, for all he's got a lot of star quality about him, has a little bit to find on pure form. But he's been deliberately lightly raced, and he will be coming to his peak now, whereas Golden Horn has peaked early in the season, winning the Dante, winning the Derby, going head-to-head with the Great Gatsby again at Sandown and the Eclipse. And there is the worry that he might just have gone past his peak now, whereas Free Eagle will be showing the very best of his form. So he's maybe the most solid one at the top of the market to run his race. But it's a fascinating contest, isn't it?
You could pick anything, and you'd have a hard job putting people off any of the ones at bigger prices, wouldn't you? If you said to me, "Oh, you're going to get the Great Gatsby at double figure odds in a race like this," you'd be thinking, "Well,
he won. It's a race he won last year, beating a supposed superstar." Mm. Well, a superstar, I suppose you could say. There's no supposed about it. And he was completely, rather unfancied there. He's going to be unfancied again. He was a little bit below form when third at York, but he was second at York for winning this last year, and he's taken a similar sort of route. So no reason why he shouldn't be there or thereabouts.
If you're going to give Golden Horn another chance at 15-8, surely you've got to give the Great Gatsby another chance at 10s.
Yes.
Same race, they were both flat, but it happens, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Right, we'll move on to Doncaster then. The 155 is the first race that we're going to look at, and it's a filly's nursery over 6.5 furlongs. We've got 20 runners going to post. Where on earth should we start here, Rory?
Well, I think we're going to start and finish in the same place. My initial reaction when I looked at this is, what an absolute horror. I remember watching this race last year and it was absolutely wide open. As you would expect, it's a strange trip. The 6.5 furlongs doesn't get used very often. And you don't tend to have previous form at this trip. You get horses proven over 7 or stepping up from 6, and that complicates things. The draw can shift around a little bit. The run of the race tends to suit finishers to some degree, but if you watch these straight track races at Doncaster over and over, often it's incredibly hard to find the winner at the furlong pole, even when you've seen the result beforehand. So it looks like a race you want to be very careful of. But then you start looking at the field, and there's one that absolutely stands out, and that's Nemoralia of Jeremy Nasida's. Frankie Dettori rides. Nasida wouldn't be my favourite trainer, but his horses are going well at the moment. He's got a good record here. The key to this filly is she would want either an artificial surface, which is probably not necessary, or fast ground. So we'd want the ground riding on the fast side are good for her. That's the one worry I would have. Aside from that, everything looks in place. She's drawn a stall 20. She's got a lot of pace around her as well. So for me, the very high numbers or the very low numbers will be favoured here. That's the way this race has panned out in the past. And she has several who've made the running on the previous start. Sharaka drawn immediately outside her, made most to be second at Newmarket last time. Jessie B. Goods made all the running to win her last two starts. Lavinia Rose made the running at Chepstow last time out. So the three horses nearest her all want to make the running, and she'll get a lovely toe from them. She wants to race just behind the pace. Her forms worked out well. She was fancy for her debut at Newmarket, didn't get the run of things, but shaped very well indeed in finishing fifth. She then stepped up to be second to it was Ballydoyle, wasn't it?
Was.
In a Newmarket maiden in July, which has turned out to be tremendously strong form, throwing up a load of winners. No less than 6 of those who raced in that contest won their next starts. We already know that Ballydoyle is a group filly, so that was a tremendous performance. And then we didn't get to see how good she was when she won her maiden at Kempton last time out. She looked completely different class to her rivals, but because it was a slowly run race and she quickened up off that pace, she wasn't able to put as much distance between herself and the rest of the field as she would have in a more strongly run race. But she looked absolutely, she looked very high class in winning that, as she did do at Newmarket beforehand. And the handicapper, I just think, has got her badly wrong in a mark of 87. She looks a Group 2 filly, to my eyes. And indeed, she's got group entries. She's got entries in the Rockfell and the Cheveley Park at Newmarket later this month. Jeremy Nasida doesn't make those entries lightly. And I think he would have choked in his cornflakes when he saw the handicap mark she got. So this is a great opportunity for her. Frankie Dettori rides the track extremely well, as you know, and he's riding on the crest of a wave at the moment. So all the boxes you could have ticks in seem to have ticks, and you do need a lot of luck here. But I think she's better placed to get that luck than most. She'll be prominently positioned, but she'll have pace to aim at. And the extended six furlong should be absolutely ideal for her based on the way she's gone in her last two starts. So I think she'll be very hard to beat and certainly hard to keep out of the frame there.
Okay. Interesting as well. And I know, as we said, we're recording this before Wednesday's racing, so the draw, we don't know, you know, where things have gone on the opening day. But typically, if I was picturing the Doncaster race, I'd want to be drawn 20. That would be...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It is strange, and you, obviously it changes from meeting to meeting, but for me...
You've always wanted to be on the straight course. You've wanted to be drawn on the high side of middle, certainly.
Yeah.
You don't want to be sandwiched against the rail with nowhere to go. Ideally, you want to have a little bit of room to move, but they tend to move across the middle a little bit in the closing stages. That means those drawn high can get that room to manoeuvre, especially in fields, in huge fields, in small fields where they all head across to the rail. Being stuck on that rail can be a negative, and everything else races on the favourite part of the track anyway. When you get 20 plus runners, they've got to spread out across the course, and the high numbers should be favoured there. Although, of course, if you're able to get across right to the far rail from an early stage, that can be beneficial as well, but you need to have speed to take you there, and all the speed in this race seems to be high anyway.
Okay, we'll move on to the 2:30. It's the Sceptre Stakes over 7 furlongs. 20 runners going to post for this one. And again, it's the turn of the fillies, and again, it's a very, very difficult race. Three-year-olds have got a fantastic record in this race, and if you're going to go off the back of that, the last non-three-year-old winner was Favourable Terms in 2005. If you're saying that a three-year-old will be winning this again, you get rid of half the field, which helps. Yep. Whether you're going to do that or not, Rory, is up to you, but what do you fancy in this?
Again, it's a race that could prove very messy, and the messiest aspect of it is that there's not an awful lot of guaranteed speed to take you through the race. I think it's easy enough to identify the front runner. That would be Bella Nostalgia, who always seems to go from the front, but she's not quite up to this level. She's only won a maiden thus far, and she's been found out in listed company in her last three starts. But she will blaze a trail up the middle of the course, which means that the rest of the field should follow her in arrowhead formation. And therefore, I don't think there's necessarily going to be an awful lot on the draw across the track. It's just a case of who's going to strike at the right time. I think Bella Nostalgia will weaken in the closing stages, and as a case of which of the hold-up horses is in the right place at the right time. And there's a lot of hold-up horses in the race, which Doncaster does suit that kind of tactic, but you don't want to be too far out of your ground. The one who makes most appeal, and is probably going to be favourite for the race, in fairness, is Fadayil. She came with a big reputation this year. She ran really well in the 1,000 guineas first time up, but didn't get home over a mile, having travelled as almost as well as anything in the race. Finished fifth. You'll remember that her bandage came undone in the closing stages as well. She then went to Royal Ascot and finished second in the Jersey. Again, looked the winner of that race, but didn't quite see it out, and was disappointing at Goodwood afterwards. At that stage, I was a little bit concerned about whether she was going to develop along the right lines, and she was pitched in against the colts in a listed race at York last time out, but for once she really finished her race off. She again travelled strongly, but looked like she was going to be in for a proper fight at the end of it, up against Speculative Bid, but she dug deep under pressure to win that. That was a weaker race than she'd been running in this season. Obviously she'd been keeping Group 1, Group 2 company, and she was entitled to win it on form, but I liked the way she did it. She really saw it out. She battled well, and any lingering doubts I had about her seeing her races out, I think, was dispelled there. That's the best form in the race.
Do you think a little bit of cut in the ground helped her as well at York?
Yeah, she had been racing on very fast ground early in the season. There's no indication she wants soft ground.
No,
but you know,
just
it was
a little bit of give.
It was just a little bit of give. Let her get her toe in. It'll be similar ground tomorrow, you would imagine. Good or just on the fast side of good. She's drawn in stall 16. I think the key to her is that although she'll be held up, she'll be held up closer to the leaders than most of these. So she should be in a very good position to make her move early. It's a case of whether Paul Hannigan can strike at the right time. Hannigan knows this track as well as anyone. and therefore plenty seems in her favour. There are any number of dangers if things fall their way, and there's going to be a few decent fillies at big prices here. I thought Bold Lass might be a value alternative. She's drawn in the middle in stall 10, right next to the front runner, but she will be coming from well off the pace. She was ridden differently at Sandown last time out, ridden up with the pace around a bend, but didn't seem to enjoy that and ran below form. Her earlier efforts give her every chance. And she's very well suited by a strongly run race on a straight track. Most reforms at a mile, but I think the 7 furlongs will be okay for her as long as the pace is honest enough. So she'd be interesting. She should be a big price, Bold Lass. Mm. She would potentially be a saver, but Fadail has the best form in the race, and the only thing that might put me off is if she's too skinny in the betting, but we don't have betting for it at the moment.
Okay, but Fadail the pick.
Yeah.
In the 2:30, the 3:05 is next up, and it's the Park Hill Stakes, a Fillies Group 2 contest over the extended mile and 6. 13 runners going to post. Again, the turn of the fillies. This one, a very, very different proposition, though. Staying fillies, I always really, really enjoy watching these races, Rory. I think that they can be pretty fascinating, especially when you get horses that continue coming up against each other. And we've got a few in here that have run against each other. Maybe not as many as we've had in previous years, but where should we start? Should we start with Hidden Gold, the top rated?
Yeah. Hidden Gold is probably going to be the favourite for this contest, having run a cracker in the Lonsdale Cup at York last time out. That was behind Max Dynamite. It looks solid form on paper. And, you know, she wasn't greatly fancied to win that to Group 2, but ran a really good race. And there's no reason why she shouldn't run a decent race again here. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the Lonsdale Cup might just be slightly overrated as a contest. I mean, Max Dynamite was a pretty impressive winner in the end, but wasn't hugely fancied beforehand. And I wonder whether it's not weak form, but I'm just not sure that it represented a great improvement from her. She'd been running well in similar contests, and I think that's pretty much where she is, which gives her winning claims, but I'm not sure it gives her outstanding claims. And if she is favourite, I'd be inclined to find one against her.
Okay.
The two who appeal to me for different reasons, Toe the Line. You know, if you think Hidden Gold ran a cracker at York, Toe the Line ran the race of her life off a mark of 101 on the Ebor. Mm. She's a 6-year-old now. And people might think, well, she's going to find younger horses improving past her. But she started off in bumpers, remember. And she's only really coming to herself now. She's by Shantou, which is very unusual for a flat mare at all. Shantou's almost always point-to-pointers and 3-mile chasers. Mm. But she's just getting better and better. Her progress hasn't been tremendously smooth. But she was back to form when third at Roscommon before running in the Ebor. And she ran tremendously well to be fourth to Litigant. She did benefit from a very strong pace there. Mm. And that's the key to her. If it's a stop-start gallop, it doesn't suit her. But if they go fast from the front, she'll be held up right at the back of the field. And if it's strongly run and suits the hold-up horses, then she'll be right there at the finish. Fran Berry takes over from Jamie Spencer, but he knows her well. And she might just be overpriced. Strictly speaking, that Ebor run is the best form in the race.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But because it's better than anything she's done before, I think people think it flatters her. It doesn't flatter her, but she is reliant on a certain set of circumstances.
Uh-huh.
But you've got Vive Mafil in the race who will be guaranteed to set a solid pace, and they won't want to let her go. So if they chase Vive Mafil, then this should be an honest pace, which will suit Toe the Line. The one who might improve chunks and who I like a lot is Kura. Luca Kamani owns and bred her. Her dam, I think, was second in this race going back. And she has been very lightly raced. She only made her debut in June. She won a maiden at the second time of asking here, which I think is very, very deliberate on Luca Kamani's part, because there are a couple of races he aims at. He likes running them in the Gultras at York, and she ran in that race last time out, finishing second to Martlet. Mm-hmm. The pair of them travelled very, very strongly in that race and looked a cut above their rivals. And I really like the way Kura went about it. She was held up at the back of the field, cut through the field like a hot knife through butter, and just found another one finishing strongly who overcame her in the finish in Martlet. Her dam won the Galtres and then came second in this. It's no mistake that Luca Kamani has aimed her at Doncaster Maidens and then the Galtres before this. So although she's got to improve to get involved here, she's absolutely certain to do that. And I think she's got a big chance as well.
Okay. The final race that we're going to look at is the 340. It is the two-year-old stakes, the Wetherby's Hamilton 300,000 two-year-old stakes as well. A race that always... Well, I was going to say always throws up one. I remember going back to, say, Wootton Bassett, blatantly obvious that that horse was a cut above. But we've had some pretty smart winners of this in recent years. Reply, the Gold Cheongsam, Morning Post and Bond Girl in the last few years. But it's one of those races where you can give a chance to every single runner. 6 furlongs, 110 yards. Once again, the trip, 22 runners. I don't envy you having to pick the winner of this one, Rory, because I think I could have 5 or 6 bets in this and still not make the top 10. It's one of those races.
There is one that stands out on the ratings. I mean, okay. I've got to deal with that one first. That's Twin Sails. Mm-hmm. Dean Ivory's son of Sir Percy. He was impressive on his debut at Newbury when unfancied, mainly because Dean Ivory hadn't had a two-year-old winner for Yonks, but I think he had one the day before, mm-hmm. and then one with this. He's owned by Robin Heffer, partly owned by Ken Ivory, Dean's father, who used to train. Robin Heffer's horse is normally in training with Richard Hannan, and oddly enough, there is a strong connection between Ivory and Hannan, because Ken Ivory, after he retired, Dean took over the license, but Ken Ivory still had horses in training with Richard Hannan. Mm. Oddly enough,
yes.
So it's no massive shock that this horse has gone to Dean Ivory, and he did well to win his first two starts. Beat John Splendid on debut in what looked a strong Newbury maiden over this trip, by the way, mm-hmm. Which is unusual. He then beat Unilit of Mick Shannon's, really tough individual, in a conditions race, a novice stakes next time out, and he hasn't had things go his way since. He was beaten less than a length at Glorious Goodwood in the Vintage Stakes. And then he probably had the ground go against him when a disappointing favourite in the Washington Singer Stakes, which is always a strong contest. He was last to four there, but didn't seem to appreciate the soft ground. The faster surface tomorrow will suit him, and he's the one to beat on paper. Mm-hmm. My worry with him is he's drawn a stall 8. There's not an awful lot of a huge amount of pace around him, and the middle of the track might just not be the place to be here. There's more speed among the high numbers, and the high numbers have dominated this in recent years as well. So the horse who seems to have more in his favour in terms of the setup of the race is Humphrey Bogart,
okay,
who does need to improve to beat Twin Sails, but would be second in the ratings anyway, mm-hmm. and receives weight from the likely favourite. He won his maiden here. Again, always interesting when trainers give the horses a bit of experience on the track. Mm-hmm. That doesn't represent huge, tremendous form, but he did it from the front. He didn't want to be in front. He pulled very hard that day and resented being in the lead, but still got the job done. It was impressive that he was able to find more in the finish, given the way that race panned out, and showed better form when fourth in the ACOM at York last time out. That's solid form, Group 3 form. He travelled very strongly there, given the impression that a well-run race at this sort of trip might just be ideal for him. I think he'd be better with cover than he was when doing his own donkey work here in his maiden. He's guaranteed that, and he'll get a lovely toe from stall 21 as well. So he will be an each-way price, and while he does need to improve to beat Twin Sails, I think Twin Sails may not find this panning out ideally for him.
Okay, so we're going to go with Humphrey Bogart in the 340. Four fantastic races, not easy ones, but hopefully... Well, put it this way, Rory, one winner, and we're in profit, aren't we?
So, yes.
That's one way of looking at it. Thanks very much for your time, Rory. We'll catch up with you soon, and enjoy all of Thursday's racing.
Thank you very much indeed.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.